Welcome to the Man Up Podcast.
I'm Winston Wolf. I solve problems.
A spiritual oasis for men. We're not pastors, just regular guys.
Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
So, for the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men, this is Man
Up. Hey, welcome everybody. This is the Man Up Podcast number 37. It happens to be the last one for 2017. And we have a distinguished panel here. And you might be asking, where is here? Well, here is Sugarland Baptist Church, Sugarland, Texas, right outside of Houston. The panel that we have here this evening are, and we are blessed to have him here, he's our favorite policy writer, he also a professional gambler, Mr. Steve Titch. As well as he's an attorney, he's a prosecutor. You get in trouble in Houston, you're going to get the book thrown at you. It's going to be thrown at you by Mr. Michael Cropper. And one of the smartest gentlemen that I happen to know. Of course, I don't know very many people. He is a trainer at a Fortune 500 company. We call him the professor. Robert Koshu is here. Before we get into this lesson, and it is lesson number 8. It is out of Going Viral, The Birth and Advance of the Church. It's a Connect 360 publication. And we're going to be talking about Paul's first missionary journey. And speaking of journeys, I just wanted to regress a little bit and let you know where all this came from, since this is kind of our wrap-up podcast for 2017. This started with the Man Up Adult Bible Fellowship here at Sugarland Baptist Church. It is a men's only adult Bible fellowship or Sunday school. We have such a good time, and we're not pastors, like we said in the opening. We're just regular guys, although sometimes we do have a pastor sit in. That's why this is so important. It is an opportunity for regular guys to talk spiritually with one another and discuss a Bible lesson. We figure that men are out there, and you are maybe one of those guys that you're looking after your health, you're looking after your family, you're looking after your physical nature. Are you looking at your spiritual side? Well, for 1 hour or approximately that, we are going to help you, and by going over this lesson. We have a Facebook page. It's called Man-Up. You can find us on SoundCloud under Man Up, or we're also on iTunes, and to find the right Man Up, because there is a lot of them, search Man-Up Bill Cox, and you'll find the right one. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and go around the room, let the panel introduce themselves, and give a brief overview of the lesson. I will read the scripture, and then we will have a panel discussion as well. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start out with Mr. Steve Titch.
Hey, we're doing Paul's first missionary journey, and when I prepared this lesson, immediately what came to mind was a particular sub-genre. Usually they're war movies, sometimes they're spy movies, but the genres, of course, is, like our lesson today, men on a mission. And you might remember the Dirty Dozen.
Yes, my favorite movie.
I knew I'd hit something. The Guns of Navarone.
Guns of Navarone. Excellent movie. Love that.
You know, the Mission Impossible movies themselves. And you know, there's what's fun about this is that there's a structure they all follow. And it usually begins kind of first, the mission's outlined. At least the audience is told what this team is supposed to be doing. Then they assemble the team. And that's always a bit of excitement as who's on board. The characters set off on their mission. They have some early successes. They infiltrate where they have to go. Maybe they get a plan or important part. But then they begin to face more challenges. And in good ones like Guns of Navarone, the characters begin to have conflict. They begin to have different objectives.
Right.
Plans change, things get messed up, the plans go wrong, a contact doesn't show up, somebody gets killed. Then, you know, there's suspense and near escapes until finally at the very end they have success, and that's usually in the movies accompanied by lots of explosions. But, you know, this first missionary journey follows that outline pretty well, as we will see.
Very good, Steve Titch. Nice. Michael Cropper.
Well, I can't follow that. Gosh,
right.
I mean, yeah, Steve here, Stitch.
Stitch. Right.
Telling us about a very, very worldly view of the Bible.
Right.
And comparing it to movies from World War II and World War I and missions and mission. But I do like the idea that you're slanting toward Mission Impossible. Because as we will see, that, and my point was this, and here again we're going to get to look at a chance of the missionaries, Paul and Barnabas, when they're appointed to be missionaries, before they ever called missionaries, go out and once again they try to preach the gospel back to the Jewish people again. Their hearts are number one. They are Jews. And they want to start out preaching the word of God again that God has given to them about Jesus to the Jews, and once again it's rejected. So I can kind of look at that, and I can see that where Steve's comparing that in a way. It is a very interesting comparison.
Right, right. Fascinating. Professor.
Wow. I look at it, and boy, it's a great comparison. And I think about it, it somewhat mirrors our faith journey. Because a lot of times we become Christians and we have early successes as Christians.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
We can throw things away. We can walk away from things. And then we really get, we start having struggles and we start having things. And sometimes we have conflict with that. You know, we may have conflict with friends that we had before, you know, sometimes our spouses even. You know, and others, and as it moves forward, so this is going to be an interesting journey, I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And it is. And we're coming from Acts, and the focal text is Acts 13, 1 through 6, 13 through 15, and 42 through 52. Now there were in Antioch, in the church that there was there, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manane, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So, being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they found a magician, a Jewish false prophet, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now Paul and his companions put out to sea from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia, but John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But going on from Perga, they arrived at Pisidian Antioch, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After reading of the law and the prophets, the synagogue officials sent to them, saying, "Brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say it." As Paul and Barnabas were going out, the people kept begging that these things might be spoken to them the next Sabbath. Now, when the meeting of the synagogue had broken up, many of the Jews and of the God-fearing proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, were urging them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles, for so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." When the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread through the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of prominence and the leading men of the city and instigated a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust on their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. It's funny how, now, once you said that about the war movies, how this really did fit into that. You're absolutely right. They did have a little bit of early success. Mm-hmm. But then they ran up against the real persecution, the real challenge. And I think that they had to force the Jews to make a decision whether they were going to accept them or not. I really feel that they really need, especially Paul with his background being Saul and being part of the Jewish faith, a leader, he had to have them make a decision before he turned his attention mm-hmm. to the Gentiles. I really feel no that. Question.
Their method of their MO was to go to the synagogue first. That's mm-hmm. as you were saying, as Mike was saying. That was probably their plan. We're going to get over to Cyprus to Salamis, and we're going to, the first thing we're going to do is going to go down to the synagogue and preach the word. Apparently, they did not run into any resistance on Cyprus. Though the section that's
until they get to Paphos.
Yes, and that section we skip over, but they convert the proconsul, essentially mm-hmm. the provincial, I guess it would be a provincial governor. Or,
yeah, he was kind of the governor of Cyprus. Right.
So he was a yeah. Roman. He was a Roman, and so they're reaching kind of high and low. And yes, this magician, of course, is jealous. What Paul does at this point. Bar Jesus tries to. I guess it's. Let me get some names right here. It is Sergius Paulus who is the proconsul. Bar Jesus, also known as Elymas, who is the magician, and he's the advisor to Sergius, and tries to turn the proconsul back. And Paul, invoking the Lord, invoking Jesus, temporarily blinds Bar Jesus. No real relationship between the names. It's the magician is temporarily blinded, and thus the proconsul sees the who's got the power in this equation. So he maintains his Christianity. So they actually do quite a good job on Cyprus before heading off to what is now southern Turkey.
You know what's amazing to me is the fact that they were sent. It says they were at Antioch in the church, and while they were ministering to the Lord and faith, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And they prayed, they laid their hands on him, and then they sent him away.
You know what I find interesting in this? Who sends out the first missionary journey? It's Antioch. It's not Jerusalem, which is where the church started. Now, of course, they've scattered a little bit from Jerusalem because of the persecutions and stuff. But in reality, they get scattered, and it's the Greek church, because Antioch was most definitely a Greek church compared to the other church.
Right.
That sends out the first missionary journey and commissions the first missions and sending them out,
but they're very also interesting. They're also, as we brought up in our class, they're wise enough, the Spirit moves them. They select a Jew.
Yes.
They select two Jews. Is that like
and not only that, but the Jew of the Jews.
Yes.
As Paul referred to himself. Yes.
So they are They're not coming in as the other guys,
right?
But what's also interesting though is about the minister, the praying, the fasting, that's very much what a I don't know if you've been on any of the many minister search committees we've got going. But I don't mean to sound facetious about it, but that's what we do. That's what they do. I've not been on a committee.
Yeah, no.
But I've been on the receiving end of those.
Yes.
It's been a way of discernment that's happening here.
Mm-hmm. Well, and not only that, but going back to your movie analogy, it starts out with the gathering of the troops.
Yes.
And then from the Dirty Dozen, I'm sorry, one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, one of my favorite movies.
It's a favorite. One of them. Kelly's Heroes.
I love that one too.
Yeah. But this is the training. This is the preparation. Because one of the things that we have to do anytime we're going to go out on mission is prepare. We do. I've been on several of our mission trips with our young people.
Right.
And, believe it or not, we prepare.
Right.
It may not be much more than one or two Sunday afternoons, depending on the trip and the length of the trip and all of that, but we prepare. We worked with, and I always get the name of this, but it is a family women's shelter, Gracewood, that our church has worked with for quite a bit. And my group was we took seventh graders and ripped the wall out to make a big room.
No, this was just renovation.
Oh. Yeah, renovation. We basically, and what was the prep? Well, we sat, we prayed, we talked. Davey called me up. He was our youth minister at the time. This is back when he was there for a time. Okay, so we're going to rip a wall out. Do you have tools? Do I have tools? I'll even go buy extra tools.
Right.
But it was prep. It was preparation. And I think one of the things that guys are really good at is recognizing that we have to have a mission, but a lot of times we tend to skip the preparation part of it. And we want to jump, because we're action guys. We want to jump into action. Part of the whole deal with the Dirty Dozen, I love they did this, they had to train.
Yes.
And none of them wanted to.
Right.
They wanted to go out and do what they were going to do. And Lee Marvin... had to convince them to train properly.
Right. I'm not volunteering for this. I'm being volunteered.
Exactly. Yes.
Right. And as men, and this podcast is a prime example. We planned it before we started it. Now we are 37 podcasts into it. This is our last one for 2017, but we have 2 weeks to really think about the planning of where it's going to go.
What are we doing in
2018? We know we're going to do it, but how are we going to use this as a mission? And the effectiveness of getting it to men out there.
Sometimes it's fun, and one of the things I did want to do tonight was reflect. So I'll take a moment just to kind of reflect, because we've been on kind of a journey with this podcast.
Right.
We threw out there. So I remember one Sunday, we're doing Sunday school, and Bill throws out, "Hey, we're going to do a podcast." And we all said, "Okay, sure, why not?
Wednesday, 7 o'clock, show up."
Yeah, show up. And we'll just rehash the lesson. And okay, at the time we were doing the Life at Work. We were at the very end of Life at
Work.
Right,
the John Maxwell.
Yeah, the John Maxwell series. And so we kind of wrapped that up with that. It was basically taking your faith and how to take it to the workplace, which, by the way, I am going to plug our pastor. January 9th, the first Sunday of January after the new year, he is starting a sermon series on your faith at work.
At work, yes.
And I saw that, and I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. That is just amazing. So, please, Sugar Land Baptist Church, we are streamed live on Facebook.
Yes.
And through our YouTube
channel. And YouTube.
Yeah, and
just
YouTube.
Just go right to the Sugar Land Baptist channel.
And it's amazing, because I'm on the tech team, so let's go ahead and keep the plug being going.
Yeah.
We started that probably pretty close to the time we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We are up to 30 some per week that watch just on the YouTube. That's not even counting, because we don't count they haven't been told how many have watched it through the live stream on Facebook. But that is something in order to get 30 some.
Yeah. Yeah. Had your live streaming. You know, so we finished that up, and we were kind of like, okay, what are we going to do? We'll just keep going to the lesson. Then we got into Genesis. And I think we all had this moment in the when we were looking at starting Genesis, and we all kind of went, how in the world are we going to talk for 30 minutes, for an hour, about some of this stuff in Genesis? And I don't know about y'all, but I think we didn't have enough time.
Sometimes. Some of a lot of lessons. Right.
And we're going to spend a lot more time on each lesson.
Well, and see, that's the thing about it is, one thing about men, you have the opportunity to bring it from your point of view to other men. Okay? That, in one way, that narrows the focus because you're taking, you're not concerned about the women's side, the children, but you're also putting a different type of focus on it from a leadership perspective.
Right.
As leaders of the family, leader of your circle of influence, how are you going to process this information and use this to not only better yourself, but better the flock that you are leading? And I think that puts a definite filter on this information that we discuss every week that no other place looks at, you know, well, for 1 hour.
And it's funny you went that way, because we went from Genesis, we went into a series of studies on called to serve. And we really focused on leadership and service in that time frame, and it enabled us to do that. Now we're in the middle of this going viral and doing a lot of allusions to growth and journey and spirituality and how it moves forward. And so it's been an interesting journey, as we talk about journeys here, for us as a group, as we move through this 2017 with these podcasts, something that, you know, he threw out there for fun, and little did we realize.
Actually, you know, Bill has been searching for a manner to project the class out.
Right.
Remember, you only started, right. We started doing videos at first, and that did not sit well, but the podcast sat well. It's not like it's just... It's like they had been praying and seeking the Lord's will. Well, Bill kept trying new stuff, and sometimes you don't find unless you experiment, right, guys? And
that's no question about it.
Bill has been looking for something to do with the men for 2 years. And Robert's back teaching young people now on Sunday nights, and of course Steve has his own class, but Bill's always looking for some way to project the class and the message that Jesus is Lord as applied to men and their opinions.
The thing about it is with men, and this is an assumption that I have, and I think it's basically true, we are all busy. We are all busy. We carve out what little time that we can to do a little self-enrichment. The podcast, it works for me because I can come up here and we can just record it. And anybody that wants to listen to it, they can listen to it while they're driving, they're exercising.
I actually listen to the podcast usually on Thursday night driving home from work. Now, I have an hour drive, but it's just the right length of time where I could listen to half of it going to work on Friday and the other half coming home versus doing it all in one sitting. And it's not only for our benefit that it works that way, but it's for the others' benefit too. For our listeners, because it gives them something that they can try to grasp and listen to and pay attention to and get some leadership perspective from a spiritual standpoint and take a look and see, because, you know, I'm like you. I'm always looking for scripture and study of the Bible is not, it's good for reading, but if I can't take this and go do something with it in my life, there's not a point. And that's really what this is about, is taking and doing something with it. And this is...
Well, the lessons are the same, but they have a different meaning when I was a teenager or in my 20s as an adult father with a couple of children.
I have a question for you, because you and I are the only two that... Well, no, Mike has too, experienced this, and I'll ask Mike as well. Do you view these Bible studies differently now that your children are grown than you did when your children were younger?
Yes.
And before children, too. And,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
right.
No, no, no.
Can I go back?
No,
right.
It is most definitely.
As you grow older, you look at it completely different, a little bit different each time.
Because I know Steve has a teenage son, because I teach him.
Right.
And I guarantee you, you and I have very much a different perspective.
Example of that is, it might have been Phil or Chris who came out with this, but depending on how the parable of the Good Samaritan, not the Good Samaritan, parable of the prodigal son,
right?
Depending where you are in life, you identify with certain different characters.
No question about it.
That was Chris.
No question about it.
But that's another lesson for another day. But yes, it's like that. You see different perspectives. You know, you might in you know one you know. All right, we can see what Paul is doing now, and actually, there's a change in leadership here. It's subtle. This is where Barnabas,
yeah.
Barnabas actually goes to get Saul from mm-hmm. Tarsus. It's interesting. It coincides with the text begins to call Saul Paul.
I was going to say this is where that switch occurs,
and it also comes with the gender because it's not. He had both names. One's the Latin version that he went around. That essentially the Gentiles knew him as Paul. The Jews knew him as Saul.
That's
so
right.
When he was down in Jerusalem, he was Saul. When he was out in the provinces, he really went by Paul. And as you see, they hear in this text, we learn that they've said, well, we're going to go to the Gentiles. We're going to shake the dirt from our feet. That isn't in this part of it. But we're going to bring light to the Gentiles now. And he's Paul. But also the transition. Barnabas pretty much was behind the establishment of the Antioch Church. He was pretty much there. He was sent from Jerusalem to get the church together and organize it. They decide to set up this mission. He goes up to Tarsus to get Saul, and somewhere along the line, maybe because of Paul's pure strength of personality, he is now the point man. It seems they're both dealing with the synagogue here, but slowly Paul takes leadership, and actually that's part of the conflict. He and Barnabas have a little bit. They continue on the missionary, but there seems to be implied friction, because for one, later on, if we study the second missionary journey, Paul doesn't take Barnabas or John Mark. Secondly, he does tend to write. He does write in the epistles about, you know, he's had a little bit of friction with Barnabas and that. But in the end, he's later his epistles in Timothy. He's writing very nicely about John Mark and conveying his best wishes and prayers to him. Nonetheless, there's this change of and this is the change of leadership. I digressed a bit, but this whole idea of sometimes the number two guy becomes the number one guy, and that can create some problems.
Well, and there's a leadership principle here, mm-hmm. And the leadership principle is it's the right leader at the right time. When the church first started in Jerusalem, it needed Peter. It needed the fiery, think before you speak, rugged fisherman kind of guy. Now it's time for the church to expand and go to the Gentiles and the Greek-speaking world. And Peter, for all of his positives, was not a quote-unquote educated man. And could not speak the language of the educated men. Mm. So now you take Paul, who Sanhedrin, Roman citizen, and Roman citizen actually very much plays into it, who can go out and lead the church at that point.
And speak many languages.
And speak
like
many,
said.
Yeah. And so you're absolutely getting, so it's a change of leadership that's a principle leadership that is the right leader at the right time. And so I think that's one reason why you're seeing this occur. And I think Barnabas's problem here somewhat was, I don't think Barnabas was quite, I thought Barnabas thought maybe he was going to be the guy who was going to be the leader. But Paul had the sheer force of personality, like he said, at that point that could come up. And so now you've got a transition in leadership in the church going on as well
at the same time. But I also think that there's certain personality types. He was a lightning rod for the Jews. He was used to being that lightning rod. Mm-hmm. He liked to be the point man. And I think once he was ready, he was ready. He was not equipped to be a number two.
Oh, Paul was a type A personality leader.
Absolutely.
He probably was in line. My bet is Paul would have been in line to be high priest.
Mm-hmm. Right. I absolutely agree with that.
That he would have been in line to be high priest except for that whole Christianity thing.
That whole turn on the Damascus Road.
You know? Right.
Because look who he was. He was the go-to guy they sent out to go round the Christians up. You know, we talked about that a couple of lessons ago.
In fact, we think he volunteered.
I think he was so gung-ho.
I think it was both.
He was a zealot.
I think it was he volunteered, but it was also, okay, good, now we got our gut. I think they may have been starting to think, okay, we got to send somebody to go get this. Probably needs to be Paul. And then Paul, I'm there, I am your guy.
Right. You can extrapolate. He probably knew. I mean, he was from Tarsus, which is in Turkey. He probably knew the territory somewhat. He might have known dialects or there's this whole bit where, you know, again, it's debated, kicked around, but they land at Perga and then go immediately. They don't stick around there for some reason, and we don't never know the reason. They go from Perga
right
to
on the coast,
to,
south coast
to,
of Turkey.
To Antioch in Pisidia. Mm-hmm. They don't stay here, and we don't know why. I mean, was it just not there's speculation. There might have been a flu outbreak that Paul may have taken ill and needed to get. But nonetheless, you know, we can extrapolate that he knows the territory. He knows there's a great synagogue. Let's just go up there. The Spirit, of course, was leading them at the same time. And of course, here's where they established the Galatian church. They begin, which later on. But to your point, Robert, is that, you know, down through 2,000 years, he writes with such great clarity. You mm-hmm. look at the letters, and especially in modern translations, the language is still very clear. It's very clear what Paul's talking about. It doesn't require, they're not, the letters, I would say Romans has a lot of difficult theology in them, but it's not difficult to read.
Right.
He speaks in, you know, short sentences. He writes in short sentences.
Perfect. Well, he moves that, and it's very much the right guy at the right time. Mm-hmm. As he moves forward, and he really does. He jumps out on this mission as he starts taking. And I love the symbolism here at the end when they literally shake the dust off their feet at the Jews. And it's really, it's a turning point of the church that's going to really bubble up in next week's lesson. Because it's literally when the church says, you know what, forget it. We're not going to the synagogues anymore. We may go, but it ain't our focus. Mm-hmm. You know, because up until this point, they were 100% sold on go to the synagogue, go to the synagogue, go to the synagogue. That's the people we are here. They have to come in through the synagogue. We want to get them through the synagogue.
They all turn out. I mean, that's, again, we didn't get, again, it's kind of skipped over, but they get this invitation in verse 15. Brethren, you have a word of exhortation. Come in. They are invited in. And that first Sabbath, it's so exciting. They're followed out. People are, hey, wait, don't leave. Tell us more. And the next Sabbath, yeah, it's here. The crowds come in, not just Jews but Gentiles. They get this huge.
Right.
I mean, the doors are. I mean, and you know, you can imagine. You know, it's sad because if you're an immigrant, maybe the difference is because Judaism wasn't ministerial. I mean, imagine if a pastor gave a sermon on one Sunday and the next day they were packed out the doors to hear more of what he was saying. That would be great for their church. Unfortunately, as these guys say, well, apparently the word is falling on deaf ears here.
But the Gentiles, for the first time, they're being included.
Yes. Yes.
And they
were actively sought out. I really think the Jews' approach to the Gentiles was, if you happen to stumble into the church, okay, we'll take you.
I think they even resisted.
But they for sure weren't going out.
Yes. Yeah. Well, wasn't there a belief at that time that you'd be a Jew first before you could come to Christ?
Well, that was the whole debate. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, as you stated, Paul is making this very clear to them. Mm-hmm. There is not an intermediate step to become a Jew first. But you can go directly to Christ yourself. And that's why, pardon me, they're so excited. And
they are, in addition to this, they are hearing something, the Gentiles, something that is just rocking their world. Because the religions at the time were woefully inadequate. I mean, I'm not talking about Judaism was probably the most developed in terms of monotheism. The rest of the world was kind of like us. That's what, you know, they have gods of everything.
You know,
therefore,
that's
gods
that's
of nothing.
That's a great comparison for a future life.
Yeah. You're absolutely correct.
They had nothing.
They had nothing
really solid. And here comes a guy and says, they understood the notion of sin. They understood the notion of what their gods were very much just giant humans, the Avengers of the time, superheroes and supervillains. Here they got this whole message that no, that's not what it's about at all, and that there is salvation and there's this relationship. And I think, you know, the world was ready for it at this.
Yeah,
certainly the Western world, this Roman Greek Western world, which was both founded both on reason and a certain degree of faith. And this I think, rocked it. And this is, I think, why so many churches got established so quickly.
Absolutely agree. And something that could be identified with, that people cared about. Mm-hmm. And also, you got to consider this, the change in the lifestyle. It went from being a nomadic lifestyle to be more... In urban areas, whereas the synagogues
starting
were...
Starting right now is when you're starting to get your first major cities. Rome, large cities.
Metropolis, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Central, I mean, the idea of, you know, the rural feeding the cities. The cities
becoming that kind of
cultural entertainment and political centers.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, I don't think anybody really believed when the emperor died he became a god. I agree, the Romans, I mean, different emperors approached it differently, and there ended up being persecution because the Christianity ran headlong into that issue. But I don't think in Perga or Antioch at Pisidia they gave lip service to this stuff, but any more than you or I believe that, whatever Tom Cruise does is important, or whatever Fox News says is important. CNN, these deities that are presented to us.
Right.
And, you know, we may go along because, oh, it's an interesting reality show for now.
Right. Oh, they're an icon. They're an icon to who?
Yeah, and so...
They throw around these terms. It means nothing.
Yeah, so this is what this was, I think. And, there we are. And I think that's
been part of it. It was lip service because you didn't want to make the gods angry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it was. Mm-hmm. This concept of having a relationship with mm-hmm. God, or being saved, or God sacrificing for us, mm-hmm. or God caring about mm-hmm. us. The ancient polytheism, the gods were viewed as very petty
mm-hmm.
and very...
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, we were their playthings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not something that you would sacrifice for and care about. And
right.
I think that's where mm-hmm. Judaism was totally mm-hmm. different. And it is it led to, I guess, like you're thinking, an emptiness that somebody seeks to fill. And human nature is, and I know Mike has seen this probably more than anybody else, human nature is such that we're going to seek ways to fill that human nature with something. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
No matter vacuum, what.
Right or wrong.
That's correct.
And he sees the wrong side of what happens.
More often than not, I think men are more susceptible than anything to that because we hide it so well. We'll hide the emptiness. Mm-hmm. We'll go out of our way to hide it. But then we will find a way to fill it on our own.
Yes.
With good or bad.
Well, we're coming down to the end. And this has been a great discussion. Not only this particular discussion of Paul's first missionary journey, but also a little bit of background of how we created this class and the podcast, where we've been this first 37 podcasts and where we're going next year. If you have any ideas of where you'd like to see us go, please feel free to go to Man-Up on our Facebook page, or you can follow us on Twitter under Man Up.
Yep.
We also, of course, are on SoundCloud, where you can hear all of the previous 36 lessons. And, of course, we're on iTunes. One more time, we're going to go around and get not only maybe a summary, but a Christmas wish and some final words from each of the panelists. Going to start with the professor.
Yeah, I want to take one of our normal panelists. Could not be here this evening, Kyle Trahan, our deacon. He wanted to wish all of our listeners a Merry Christmas. And I'm going to follow with that and wish them all as well a Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year. This is the season. This is the time. And in case you don't know, this is the point where in human history, the promise of Emmanuel, God with us, becomes the Word became flesh, is the intersection of that. Everyone gives me a hard time because my favorite Christmas Bible verse is in John. John 1. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Jumping several verses down, the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. And that is the meaning of this. You know, it's fun. If you follow me, if you see me on Facebook, I'll probably put it on the Man Up page. I will apologize up front to all of my hosts. But it's not the reason you wear stupid clothes like I did to work yesterday.
Right.
It is because the Word became flesh. And this begins, you know, we do Advent here because it intersects with the church year. That if you grew up in an ecclesiastical tradition, the beginning of the church year is Easter, the beginning of the church year is Advent, that builds to Christmas, that builds into the Epiphany, which is the wise men coming, that takes you to Lent, that takes you to Holy Week and Easter, and then Pentecost for the church. And that is the reason. This is the start of God's real redemptive work with mankind. And it happened because of the baby in the manger.
Excellent. Michael Cropper.
He just taught the whole Bible there.
right. That's why he's the professor.
That's our
Not
professor.
Everybody will identify with that. That's why we have a panel and not one guy.
Steve took a ball, too, and rolled it out there.
Right.
I will say this. I had other thoughts to convey, but
if you don't mind, what
you said, Robert. This is the time of the season, folks. If you're joining us and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you may go to Luke 2 and read what we're about to celebrate here at Christmas. And since you brought that up, Robert, Luke 2 is the story of the birth of Christ, I believe. And it's absolutely a beautiful story, much like the story day we had where Paul and Barnabas go out. They don't know what's going to happen, but they're going to go out and preach the gospel. And they're rejected, and that doesn't stop them. In fact, that probably gets them more excited than ever, and they preach it again. And Paul takes over, and folks, in the previous lessons we had seen, Paul was actually told by Ananias when he was approached by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he said, I'm going to call you, and you are going to be you're going to carry my name to the Gentiles. Ananias specifically told him that he was going to carry his name to the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. So while Paul and Barnabas tried their best to reach the Jews first with the gospel message of Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit led them to go ahead and present it to the Gentiles. And as I said, yes, this is what Christmas is all about. This is the beginning of it. And it's a wonderful time of the year. And I too wish to wish every one of you a Merry Christmas as well.
Excellent. Steve Titch.
I'm going to roll it right back to where we started. Certainly a Merry Christmas to all and a Happy New Year. And in this, you know, coming year, if you're out there, think about, you know, your own missionary service. And this doesn't mean getting in a boat like Paul and Barnabas did. You can find missions right in your own neighborhood. Your church probably doesn't. We here at Sugar Land Baptist have, as Robert mentioned, a women's shelter. We have East Fort Bend Human Needs. I think we serve them. Do we serve?
Yes.
Help serve them. Habitat for Humanity. Programs are probably local or near local, no matter where you're based. And we also, out there, if you are a church member, certainly look at where you might serve and build on that. Perhaps you might be ready prayerfully to go to a Central America or an Africa with your church. Perhaps on a church mission. Certainly prayerfully consider all of that. And certainly, I will also like to remember in our prayers those missionaries who are certainly now in dangerous spots, who literally, like our examples today, did put their lives on the line for their faith, and they still do that to this very day. So our prayers with them and our thoughts with them in this Christmas season.
Oh, outstanding. And I hope you've enjoyed this podcast. And I just want to reiterate about missions. And our late pastor, Dr. Pastor Phil Leinberger, said, we can send paint and paintbrushes down to a mission field. But if you send someone with paint and a brush, you change lives, not only there, but the people themselves. And I hope you take the opportunity to do that. My name is Bill Cox, and one of my missions is this. I hope that you're out there, that you're in good health, that you're a leader of your family. But understand this, you're a man, and I care, and this panel cares about your soul, about your faith, and that's why we are here weekly recording this podcast. And we want to encourage you to join a Bible-based church. If you're in Sugar Land, Texas, visiting, or in the Houston area, come out and visit us at the Man Up Adult Bible Fellowship, Sugar Land Baptist Church, or join one yourself. And if there is not one available, start one. Merry Christmas to you and yours. On behalf of Man Up, my name is Bill Cox. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will start up again in 2018.
You've been listening to Man Up.
You've got answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Dedicated to the uncommon man, created by equally uncommon men.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You can contact us on Facebook under Man-Up. Post questions, and we'll answer them right here on the Man Up Podcast.